Let's open our time in a word of prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks tonight for this privilege and joy that is ours to continue to meet together as a church body, as we come to honor and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we can come in just a few moments and gather together around the Lord's table and there to be reminded again of his wonderful love that he bestowed upon us, that love which allows us to be the sons of God. What a joy and a privilege and blessing it is tonight to gather in this place that we might be reminded of that sacrifice and therefore live then in light of his return as we consider that truth again from the book of 1 Thessalonians. So Lord, we pray tonight that you would be our teacher, that you would guide us and direct us, and may this time be sweet. And as we leave this place tonight, may we say that it's been good that we have gone to the house of the Lord together. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. So bless this time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me invite you this evening to take your Bible, please. And would you open with me the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. It helps to turn it on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 tonight as we continue on in our study of living in light of the Lord's return. We understand so far, even from this study, that Paul had great adoration for the church of Thessalonica. Although he only had spent a few moments with them in consideration of time, only but a few months was he there with them. And so as we come to this study, though, we find a letter that is very personal, because of that love that he had for them. Here in chapter 3, as Paul seeks to make sure that this church is being established in the faith, Paul reminds them of those things that were given to them in order to help them as the body of Christ, that their church would truly be established in the truth. Would you follow along as I begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 3, we'll actually read down through the end of the chapter, then we'll have a word of prayer. Paul writes and says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distresses by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks we can render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Pray with me, please. Our Father, we ask and pray tonight that as we look at the passage before us, as we consider how to live in light of the Lord's return, that tonight the Spirit of God would be our teacher. The Lord, we would see very clearly how the church can be and is being established today through the resources that you provide for us. And that, Father, we would use those resources well, that we as your people might be to the praise and the honor and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time that we have now to look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It is clear today, as we have gathered together, as we've looked into the word of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church. He loved it enough that he gave himself for it. We also know that his love is seen, and that today the Bible says he is living for us. He today is our advocate. He today is interceding for us. It is the desire and passion that the church be established, that the church be grounded in the faith. However, we live in a world today where many churches are floundering. They are struggling in the midst of the turbulent seas of this world. And so Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, which also had its struggles, which had its tribulations, writes to them and shares with them the resources that are available to the church of Christ in order that that church might be well grounded, firmly rooted, anchored in their faith in these turbulent seas of life. In chapter 3, Paul shares with this beloved church three things that he had done to ensure that they would be established in their own faith. These things are still available to us today, and we would be wise as the body of Christ to ensure that we are using that which God has placed before us, that we remain well-grounded in the faith. By the way, you have heard me say, and you see often on our bulletin covers and other things, as we see our new website come and some other posters and things that have been produced, we have three basic statements that we often say, that as a church, our aspirations are that we be growing in grace. That comes from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, that we be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The second one is just as important, that we as the body of Christ would be grounded in the truth. That comes from Colossians 2 and verse 7, that we would be rooted, established in our faith. That's really the concept that Paul is getting at in this chapter here. The third statement that we often share is that as we grow and that as we are grounded from that platform, we go out in love to a world that is lost and dying, sharing the good news of the gospel as we follow the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants to help this church in the midst of its struggles, in the midst of its trials, to live in light of the Lord's return. And again, in every chapter, we are reminded of the coming of the Lord, and we find that again in verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. As we live in light of the Lord's return, and as we seek to ensure that our church remains grounded in the truth, what has God given to the church in order to help? What resources are available unto us? We begin in the first five verses tonight, and we discover, first of all, that a resource that God has given to the church is the resource of gifted men. Look what it says. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor be in vain. As Paul begins the third chapter, we become aware again of his concern. His concern and love for the church of Thessalonica. And so he says in verse 1 and again in verse 5, when I could no longer forbear, I had to send Timothy unto you that I might know of the estate of your affairs, that I might know that you are established, that you are comforted, that you have not been led astray. Paul's desire is that the church be well grounded in the truth. But due to the circumstances to which the church was started and Paul having to flee so early on, he had a concern for the church. And he says, I can no longer forbear. I have to know. And in order to ensure that you are established, in order to ensure that you have not drifted away from what we taught you and that all that we did was not in vain, I have sent unto you Timothy, that he might help you be established and comforted in the faith. Paul understood that this church's faith was being tested. It was being tried in the furnace. Again, I'll say to you, as I said this morning in Sunday school, that sometimes we have wrongly concluded that churches that don't have trials are churches that are blessed. That's not necessarily the case. Trials are not an indication of the removal of God's blessing. They may very well be the indication of God working to purify and establish the church and make it stronger for His sake. But Paul knew that within those trials and tests, the devil desired that he would tempt them and draw them away. And so he shares his concern for them. And as he does so, he reminds the church that one of the resources given to us is the resource of gifted men. I want to break this down a little further tonight for us, if I can. There we go. And see, first of all, as Paul seeks to help them with this thought, that there was a concern for leadership. Paul's concern for the establishment of the church stirred a desire to provide for the church godly leadership. And so he says, when I could no longer forbear, I send unto you Timothy. Timothy was sent that he might be able to check on the church, to see the state of their affairs. He was sent that he might then encourage them, to teach them, to comfort them in all of their afflictions. What we learn from this first point that Paul is seeking to make is this, that God gives to the church gifted men and leaders to help them through the times of trials and tribulations. What a blessing that God has gifted men that are able to be used with the Word of God to establish the church, to strengthen the people, to comfort them in all of their afflictions. And can I say to you tonight that there is a need for godly men to be willing to answer the call, to be willing to stand in the gap, to be used of God for His glory. Men like Gideon, willing to be the one that would stand and fight for righteousness. Paul's concern for the church, desire that he would send to them good and godly leadership, that they would be used to help the church be established and to be comforted. And the Lord Jesus is concerned for the church as well. Folks, do you realize that in Ephesians chapter 4, The Lord Jesus says that he gave gifts to the church. Some were apostles and some were prophets. Some are evangelists and some are pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that that body would come together in unity, learning how then to love one another and so fulfill the law of Christ within that body. Paul says there is a need for gifted men who are willing to lead, and so he speaks to them about his desire and why he sent Timothy unto them, that he would be used to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. But in that verse, verse 2, we discover not only the concern for leadership, but we see the character of the leader, and that's just as important. Paul didn't send just any man. He sent unto them Timothy. Timothy being one of Paul's closest companions. He assisted Paul in the work of the ministry, his son in the faith, one known for his character. Paul had seen the proof in Timothy's faithfulness. You could look at Philippians 2, verse 20 and 22, and Paul would say, "There was no one like-minded unto me as Timothy is." But Timothy was a man of character, and as such, he was capable then to establish the church. What is it that makes a leader a good and godly leader? What character traits should we look for in those that we add to our leadership team? Whether that be as pastors and deacons, whether that be as Sunday school teachers and those that would teach the Word of God, those who are gifted in that way, what are those qualities of a good leader? Well, we find, first of all, that a good leader should be one genuine in faith. Notice what it says. We sent Timotheus, our brother. He is our brother. He is one that had demonstrated clearly that his faith in Christ was real. It was genuine. Paul says, we know him to be our brother. Timothy was one whose faith was real. His faith was genuine. But we also discover not only is there a genuine faith, but there is the faithfulness and service. For it says, our brother and minister of God. Timothy wasn't afraid to serve the Lord. He wasn't afraid to serve the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. He wasn't afraid of hard work and labor. He ministered for the gospel. He was faithful to fulfill that which was required of him. Folks, the church needs faithful men and faithful women. Faithful men and faithful women who will show up week after week and teach a Sunday school class. Faithful men and faithful women who will fill the nursery schedules. Faithful men and faithful women who will be involved in junior church and work with our children on Wednesday nights, whether that be in youth group or whether that be in our Kids for Truth. Faithful men and faithful women who are willing to be involved in our church music ministries. Men who are willing to usher and greet and be ones that will meet folks at the door to encourage them in their faith. We need faithful men and faithful women. And one of the characteristics of our day-to-day is a lack of commitment. The church today is losing out on commitment. I'll be careful tonight in my comments. In fact, I won't say much. But folks, consider the importance of faithfulness to the body of Christ. Those faithful men, those committed men, are a resource of blessing to the body of Christ that allow it to remain strong and established in the faith. We need deacons who are faithful. Now, folks, my definition of faithfulness is simply this: the door is open, you show up. It's really that simple. You commit to teach, you teach. You commit to sing, you sing. Now, I realize that sickness comes and travel for business comes and vacations do come. I'm okay with those to a point. But how many vacations do we need? Do we have to stay home because we have sniffles? Do we really need to stay home for sporting events or because it's a beautiful night and we'd rather be out with our family somewhere else? See, God gives the resource of faithful men and faithful women to establish the church in its faith. And Paul could say of Timothy, he is my brother and a faithful minister. But notice, he also calls him a fellow laborer. And he noted Timothy as one who is humble before all. Here's what Timothy desired. Timothy desired to serve the Lord and not himself. Timothy's desire was to exalt the Lord. His heart was pure. His motives were pure. And again today, too many serve for their own gain. Too many serve for self. Timothy saw himself as a team player, a fellow laborer. He desired to be humble and walk before the Lord. And his desire was to be a blessing that the church might be established. As we come back again to this concept that Paul is speaking of, these resources of gifted men, we find one final thing that Paul addresses, and that is the conflict of the church. Leaders are given in times of conflict to establish in days of affliction. Look at verse 3. Paul says that he had sent Timothy, our brother, our minister of God, the fellow laborer of the gospel, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. There's a colon, so the thought continues in verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Leaders are given to the church in order that men be not moved in the days of their afflictions. Notice how the phrase ends, or how the verse ends. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. God has given leaders to be there to help folks in the days of affliction, in the days of their conflicts. There are two important points that we draw from those words that Paul says there in verse 3. First of all, we understand that every affliction, every conflict is designed by the enemy to cause us to be moved. He desires that we be tossed to and fro. He desires that we shift in our positions. He desires that we be moved. Our enemy does not want you and I to be faithful to stay on the straight and narrow. He wants us to veer off the path of God. But the second thought we understand is that every conflict is designed by God to perfect us. These conflicts are appointed unto us. Paul says the reality is that leaders are given for those times, and those conflicts are given to us for those times, for our perfection. But my desire is that you be not moved. Instead, you be established. Instead, you be comforted. And I have given, therefore, the resource of godly leaders within your life. Gifted men. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, trials and tests are not accidents. Folks, they are appointments. We don't like trials and we don't like tests, but they're not accidents. It's not a mistake. It's an appointment God makes with you and with me. But his desire is that we be not moved. So how does he help us? By giving to the church gifted men to guide us through those times of testing. We find yet another resource, though, tonight, and that's found in verses 6 through 8. That is the resource of the Bible. Paul says, I could wait no longer. I could forbear no more. I had to send Timothy unto you to know the affairs of your estate. Timothy brings back the report. Verse 6 says, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, he brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. In verse 6, we find that Timothy now brings back the report of the church of Thessalonica and reports that the church is doing well. We find an interesting phrase there in verse 6. It says that Timothy brought us good tidings of your faith. Those words, good tidings, are the same words that we would use to speak of the gospel. These good tidings brought comfort to the heart of Paul, and the result of Timothy's report was that the letter that he sent was received well. It is Timothy who brought to them this letter. It is Timothy that was there with them, who established them. It was Timothy that comes back and says, they have received well, they love you, they desire to see you all the more. They found comfort in Paul's letter, which, by the way, we know to be part of the canon, the Word of God. So what we discover is simply this, that we have the resource of the Word of God. In days of affliction, in days of trial, in days where the church is going through difficult times, when your family is going through difficult times, it is a blessing, yes, that there are gifted men who can come alongside and gifted ladies who can serve alongside. But let us not forget the beautiful gift of the Word of God. In it, we have all that we need for life and for godliness. In the times where our heart breaks, in the times where our eyes are filled with tears, we can look through those tear-filled eyes to the pages of the Word of God and there find comfort and there find peace. A peace that passes all understanding. Again, this book to which Paul writes, 1 Thessalonians, this book that brought such comfort is filled with doctrine, filled with truth. And folks, what a blessing it is to have truth to be a resource to us. It is the truth that we should desire as babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. We ought to desire to grow in the truth of the milk and the meat of God's Word. Yet we are reminded by Paul later in his letters to Timothy that one of the characteristics of our age is that men will not endure sound doctrine or truth. Instead, they heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. I hope that that is not going to be the case for us. I hope that won't be the case for you. That we won't allow the things of this world to replace the truth of God's Word. We live in an age that is commonly referred to as the postmodern era. This is an era that is filled with images. We do use images in our services. We use PowerPoints and things to help us retain, though, the truth, to be a help to you and a resource, but it's based on truth that we do these things. We want you to see the truth and understand the truth, but our world today is simply drawn away from the truth by the things that we often call within marketing eye candy. It draws us away. May that which we do draw us to the Word of God. It is the truth And may we never forget the wonderful resource of the Bible. And as we come to the Word of God, I want to remind you what the Bible does for you and for me. The Bible, folks, is nourishment for my soul. As I come to the Word of God, I find that which is nourishing, that which strengthens me, that which uplifts me. It is bread to the soul. It is light that guides me. It is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It is the weapon that defends me. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the only weapon that we are given. And it is that which cleanses my life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We've been given the wonderful resource of the Word of God, the resource of gifted men. And the Bible tells us that we've been given the resource of prayer. Look at verse 9 down through verse 13. Paul says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Paul's longing and desire again is that the church be established, that it be unblameable in holiness. One of the resources, folks, to get us there is prayer. Paul says, "Night and day I pray for you." Is there someone in your heart and mind that you would like to see the Lord change? Someone's faith who is weak, maybe who was once strong. Maybe it's a child, a spouse, a neighbor, a friend. Someone that you desire to see the Lord do something in their lives to change them, to establish them. Parents, do you want to see the Lord do a work in your children from the time that they are young until the time that they are sent forth from your home as arrows in the hand of a mighty man and able to hit the mark? Then pray. Are there souls that you believe need to be saved? Folks that you're burdened for, that you have witnessed to, perhaps at work, perhaps your neighbors, perhaps loved ones? Then pray. Prayer is a remarkable resource given to us by God. And we ought to avail ourselves of such a resource. We had our first meeting as pastor and deacons of the new year for us. One of the challenges that I shared with our men, and one that I trust that we're going to hold to, is that in the meetings to come, my heart's desire is simply that we would take much time as pastors and deacons to pray for you. Praying for our ministry, praying for those who have wandered, praying for those who have strayed, praying for those who are ministering faithfully, praying for those who are studying for ministry, others that God might call, praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers from His own harvest field. Praying. The greatest amount of time that we should give and the greatest blessing that we could be to you, the body of Christ, is that your leadership prays for you. By the way, the greatest blessing you can ever be to us as leadership is that you would pray for us. Prayer is a wonderful resource to help the church be established, to be firmly grounded in the midst of a world filled with turbulent seas. Our desire ought to be that we would pray one for another. Praying that we be faithful till the Lord returns. Maybe today our Lord will come for us. Maybe today His face we will see, but maybe not. We may go on in this way another 50, 100, or 1,000 years. Some of us may not make it 50 years. None of us will make it 1,000 years if the Lord tarries. But what a wonderful blessing it is that we can be part of the church and see the church be established through the resources that God has given to a church in the midst of all of its afflictions and all of its troubles. Paul wrote and said, "Oh, I desire that you live in light of the Lord's return. I want you to be focused on His coming. And as you wait the coming of the Lord, understand that we gave some things to you to be a blessing to you, and we trust that you would use the resources God has given to the church, gifted men, men who will serve and men who will lead, men who can preach and men who can teach the Word of God. Use those gifted men. God also gives to us His Word. His Word that we can read, His Word that we can study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who don't need to be ashamed, ones who can rightly divide the Word of truth." And He gives us the beautiful resource of prayer. Jesus Christ today intercedes for us. We today ought to be interceding one for another, that the church would be established, to be comforted, to be unblameable in holiness. Gifted men, the Word of God, and prayer. Wonderful resources given to us by God in days of affliction and days of adversity. Let us stand firm, grounded in the truth. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the study in 1 Thessalonians. We thank you for this chapter and the truth that is revealed to us. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would give to us understanding hearts. And Lord, I trust that we would rejoice as well for the wonderful resources that you provide for us. Resources in the days of our suffering, resources for the days of our afflictions, that the church be established and that we would personally benefit. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to use that which you have provided for your honor and for your glory. We thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.